Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Dr. Rhonda Waters, CEO of Mutare Hypnosis, LLC, in Boston, Massachusetts, and around the globe by Skype. You can reach us by phone on 617-266-3057 or email rfw@mutarehypnosis.com. That's MutareHypnosis.com. Today, I'm doing an add-on episode of New Year's resolutions, whether they're good or bad, because I keep hearing from people that they're struggling with trying to decide what to do. And this is an important aspect, as there can be pressure to do one or not the other. So I wanted to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. The research goes both ways. Are you getting used to research showing conflicting ideas yet? Every time there's a medical thing that comes out, 5 minutes later another one comes out that's in contrast to the other. Sometimes we don't know enough. Sometimes we think we know enough. But the important part about research and goal setting is that preponderantly, time after time after time after time, it shows having goals is far preferable to not. Does that make sense? So even though you may think having a New Year's resolution and last year didn't turn out so well, even though you think having a New Year's resolution maybe wasn't a good plan for you at that time, you think, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. The people who have goals, some of them get them. And those who get them got them because they were chasing them. So you're better off, what do they say? You're better off reaching for the stars and getting to the moon than, you know, despairing about being on the earth and doing nothing. So this is an important part of goal setting, and this is a step a lot of folks miss, is that we, especially us grown-ups who are used to being good at doing stuff, if you're making a resolution to do something different, you're going to have to struggle. Hello! You're going to have to struggle a bit because it's something you didn't do before. Now you're adding it in, you're putting it on, you're taking it off, whatever. It's going to be difficult at times. And part of the process of being successful at goal setting, which is what really a New Year's resolution is, so sometimes maybe you don't want to think about it as a, quote, New Year's resolution. Just think about it as a goal you're starting in January. Now, take away that particular pain or stain that you might feel with previous resolutions that didn't go well, or start them on a different day. No one cares what day you start your resolution. You start your goal setting. And by the way, anytime you tell anybody you're trying to reach a goal that's going to be a stretch or a reach or something difficult, you'll find about half of your friends are going to say that's a fabulous idea, and the other half are going to say you never make it. Calm down. And this is why there's a whole school of thought that says don't tell anybody anything. You know, they'll put the whammy on you. So part of the process of goal setting for a New Year's, this time of year, is to involve yourself in the preliminary part of the process. So when I say preliminary, I mean if you're going to do a weight loss goal, you're going to something like that, you got to clean out your cabinets and your cupboards. You have to get rid of the stuff that sabotages your process. That means the cookies, cakes, pies, non-nutritional foods, things loaded with salt, processed foods, all those other kind of things, you're going to have to get rid of them. Start working your way away from them now. Don't buy them anymore. If you don't shop for your family, you have somebody else in your family who does the shopping, they think you want the Pop-Tarts. And then you want to continue because you've been eating them for the last 6 years. They think you want to continue to eat empty caloried foods, but you really don't. Them you might have to have a talk with and say, hey, I want to change my snack to something else. And here's what I'm, and you want to trade that for something. So it's not like you're missing that thing at the time of day you usually have your whatever it is snack. You usually have your Reese's peanut butter cups or whatever it is. You want to have something else available to you at that time. Because you can work your way away from it over a longer period of time if you have something to substitute it for, a healthy alternative to substitute for. If you're going to do a gym thing or a weight loss exercise or fitness program, you want to prepare yourself ahead. You want to make sure you have the right clothes. If you're going to sign up for a gym, find a gym you like going to. Do a trial period before you sign all the paperwork and crap. The gym people are going to want you to sign up right away and stay forever, but you want to find if you like being in there at the time, because if you go at a time you're not going to be there, and then you go at the time you really are going to be there for real, and it's a whole different thing, and you hate it, you might or might not go. Although, frankly, it doesn't make any difference where you exercise as long as you're getting the exercise, but you have to make that commitment in your head. But the part where you figure out what you need to have to be there, how do you organize the time to get there, how long will it take you to drive there, what's the actual commitment? Because this is a step a lot of folks miss. They just say, well, my time, I'll be 45 minutes at the gym. Okay, well, how long did it take you to get dressed to go there? Did you have to get dressed? When you come out and you shower, are you trying to do this on your lunchtime? how did you really figure out these part of the process? This is a normal part of planning to be successful. It's kind of like people think, well, I can just go do it and things will fall into place. Let's pretend you wanted to go to Toronto. You live in Atlanta, Georgia. You can drive to the airport on the day you wish to go, and you can probably get on a plane and go to Toronto. You probably can. What do you think that would cost you? What do you think the regular rate is? What do you think the 14-day out, the 21-day out rate is? So you can probably go to, you know, you can probably get where you want to go. But the cost, the difficulty, and rest assured, you are not getting on the first plane leaving out of there because they saw that video at the airport. You are not getting on the first plane leaving unless it's many hours from then and they have time to check everything, including your baggage and why you don't have any baggage situation. Especially because you're going to a foreign country, they're going to want to check your passport. So all these things, you know, that you would – don't assume anything you want to do for a key goal, because the reason you're setting these goals or resolutions is because it's something that's important to you in your life. You need to take a little time and do some research. And I've been recommending for years, people sometimes think, well, that's not really very interesting, is Google SMART goals. That's S-M-A-R-T goals. There's a pile of resources available to you. There's videos, there's audio, there's all kinds of things. But SMART goals meet – basic criteria that's been used in management for many years, and a lot of you are great managers, and I know a bunch of you who'll be listening to this call are tremendous managers. I want you to apply your managerial skills to your personal life. So bring your smarty pants cap home with you. SMART goals are specific. And they're also one of the advantages of these kind of SMART goals is that I want you to set for yourself are things you can control. Like, I've seen people try to walk in with things like, you know, well, I want to solve, you know, hunger in my neighborhood. In a year, maybe it's a great goal to go after, but you need something that's measurable and, for purposes of this discussion, that you can control. So you might, you know, preponderantly, and I hope you're lucky or fortunate and you have connections already in your neighborhood and you can help make sure that everybody gets fed, but that's going to be a whole lot of work. And it might take you 2 years to feed everybody in your neighborhood. So you want to make sure your SMART goals are specific. So if it's a weight loss goal, how many pounds, whatever. And remember, when you're setting a weight loss goal, you should be planning on no more than two pounds a week. You might lose more on the front end if you're a really heavy person, but it averages out. So if you have 50 pounds to lose, you're not going to lose 50 pounds in a month. I know you've seen on The Biggest Loser, but remember, those people are, in fact, quite – some of them are double or triple the size of a regular person. It is really hard. And they're doing that as their full-time job. If you have to go to work every day, you probably can't spend 8 hours in the gym. So a more realistic goal is 2 pounds. So figure out if you have 50 pounds, you know, 2 pounds a week, yeah, it's going to take you 25 weeks. That was easy-ish math to do. So you want to make sure it's measurable, it's specific, it's measurable. So if you're doing pounds, that's something you can measure. If you're doing fitness, set a couple of fitness goals you want to meet. So maybe you want to be able to walk a mile in under 9 minutes. You know, whatever, something that's reasonable. So something you might want to talk to your doctor about if you're doing a weight or exercise goal. Or if you're planning on going back to college, you get a degree, you want to make sure you're doing well in your classes. You want to organize your time so it's available to you. It's achievable. That this is the part of the process where a lot of people miss the goal setting is they set themselves an unrealistic goal or they make it a goal they don't have control over. It's like, it'd be like getting your goal would be to get your kid into their first choice for college. You don't have any control over that. Okay. You have control over the admissions process. So you could set the goal to have all the paperwork done for his or her submission to school. But the part where he or she is accepted is not within your control. So pick the right side of the goal. So you have something that's achievable and that's results-oriented, that's based on outcomes, not activities. On the actual outcome, not the effort you put in. Sometimes you'll be a lot of effort putting into, like if you want to have a beautiful garden, you can put lots of effort into it. You can put lots of planting and organizing, putting the things out, and then the hailstorm comes. And that might be, or it happened to Martha Stewart. She had these beautiful hosta plants and everything, and I'm sure when Martha's, you know, things go on, they really go on. She had this beautiful hosta plant all was set out, and she showed pictures of them. But on the day they came to video, Bambi and Thumper, those would be deer, came. And if you have deer in your neighborhood, you know, and you have plants, deer will eat them. They ate the hostas, these beautiful, you know, like 2 foot in diameter. They ate them right down to the ground. So that was something that Martha couldn't control. So her having the beautiful, you know, garden ready for these kind of things didn't act, you know, that particular section didn't happen. But that was beyond her control. So you want, but you want to make sure that things are results oriented, that things will be prepared for the party, the things you can control, the background part about the whether the plants do what you want them to do under the right circumstances. That's a different kind of thing. You also want to make sure something is time bound. That's the T in SMART goals, is time bound. How long will it take you to do that? What is the time frame you set on the goal? So you're figuring out what that time frame is. Now, one thing to consider about time bound goal deadlines is if you're not used to setting goals, sometimes you don't know how long it'll take you to do something. I've run into this with many clients, is the time they think it will take them to do something is either way shorter or way longer because they haven't really practiced this. Unless you're somebody who does lots of time work studies and those kind of things like me, I mean, which is one of the things that I have a pretty good background in, and I actually got too good at setting my own goals and figuring out the timeline, so I had to start setting myself a more advantageous goal so that I can work on dropping things that were taking up time. So part of the process is accept the fact that you're not an expert at goal setting just yet. So to some people having, you know, say they set a six-month goal to lose 30 pounds, and they don't quite make, so they I've seen people in despair because they lost 25 pounds instead of 30. They're 5 pounds short. Calm down. You wouldn't have lost 20 if you hadn't set the goal to move ahead. That leaves you 5 pounds left to do. Things happen, and there's all kinds of sabotages that can occur in those kind of situations. But I want you to remember sometimes that when you're setting the goal, that you may not have known enough to set that goal. Family situations happen. All kinds of things occur that can delay a goal or have to reset or restart. You learn something about the goal. You didn't have enough resources. You say, I'm gonna you know, finish college in 4 years. Well, you go and start applying to colleges, and you figure out that you don't have enough money to go to the colleges that are closest to you. And now you have to figure out how to drive back and forth to school or get a ride back and forth to school or how to, you know, how to save your money for the schools you can attend or do some schools online, all those sorts of things that you didn't know enough on the front end when you were setting the goal. So part of the process can be that we're not properly prepped. This is what I was talking about on the front end of this call, is we haven't properly prepared or scheduled. So sometimes you have to do a little research. Set the goal and give yourself a week or so to figure out whether this goal is reasonable within the time frame. Talk to someone who you trust is on your team, not other people or, you know, what have you that you don't know very well, somebody who's really on your side. Now, even if it's somebody who's, you know, it has to be somebody who's going to be on your side to help get the goal done, not somebody who's going to go, oh, you've never made it before. You don't want that Eeyore, you know, happening for you right then. And you also want to make sure that even though that your family members may love you and care about you, don't forget, they may have a vested interest in your weighing 300 pounds because they're all weighing 300 pounds. And so when you try to move to 200 pounds, some family members, I'm not saying yours, some family members will get, we're not good enough for you. They'll start trying to pull you back into the crab bucket. So you want to make sure that you're talking to someone who is going to be on your team to encourage you to get after pretty much any goal you want to get after. And then there are always people who are working on these kind of processes. And it's one of the good things, if you will, about Facebook is that whatever you're trying to do, the positive thing, somebody else is trying to do it too. But part of the process may be you doing some research to figuring out what you can and can't do and organizing those things. So that's one of the things I want to encourage you to do now, is a couple of weeks before New Year's, is to think about what you'd like to do, how you want 2016 to be different than 2015, and figure out by doing some research, setting up your SMART goals, with how to get after the things you really care about. Because you can get after the things you care about and start moving in that direction if you'll plan and organize and put and not be deterred. People keep telling us you have to stay after, be persistent. So I want you to remember that. And if you want some help with goal settings or organizing some of those things, reach out to me on Facebook at Rhonda Waters or Mutari Hypnosis LLC. Or by phone on 617-266-3057. You can email me at rfw@mutarehypnosis.com. That's rfw@mutarehypnosis.com. I'll see you sooner than you think. Thanks for listening to Ask Dr. Rhonda.